Let's talk about the pyramid.
Oh, yes, let's.
Let's talk about the pyramid, Ollie.
Can we talk about the pyramid? The Great Pyramid.
Would you mind if the alien came and sat by you?
I told you last week, or whenever we met last, I'll summarize what some of the stuff. That the Great Pyramid reveals, and it was built, well, the pyramid was, nobody knows for sure when it was constructed. There are many theories. The one I accept is that it was, that and the Sphinx were built before the flood. They're the only two structures that predate the flood. And I've got all kinds of reasons to believe that, but anyway. But it was built by, if we accept modern theories with regard to the evolution of man, it was built during a time in which men were allegedly cavemen. Ignorant, dwelling in cave, beating a woman in the head and dragging her by the hair into the cave, and first inventing wheels and fire. And, you know, it's built a long time ago. But in its design, it could not be duplicated with today's architectural understanding or with today's engineering. And its knowledge was hidden away until man returned to a point where his science caught up so that it could be understood. But the pyramid, the scientific facts that the pyramid reveals are the distance from the earth to the sun, the mean density of the earth, the weight of the earth, the volume of the earth's crust above sea level, the mean ocean level of the earth, the mean temperature of the earth, the circumference of the earth, what's called the golden scion, or the linchpin of all architecture, the number of days in the solar year, the number of days in the sidereal year, the number of days in the anomalistic year, and the number of years in what's called the universal day, which is 25,826.54. It's designed on the basis of pi. The basic unit of measurements for the pyramid is 1/500,000,000th exactly of the Earth's diameter at the pole. The only other place that inch, the pyramid inch, it's called that 1/500,000,000th of the diameter of the Earth at the pole is called the pyramid inch. The only other place that measurement is used exactly is in the Ark of the Covenant, in the temple in the wilderness, tabernacle in the wilderness, and in Solomon's temple. Inside the king's chamber is an ark that's open, and it's the exact measurements of the Ark of the Covenant. That and many, many other things. But the idea of that all this stuff is revealed in this hunk of stone is kind of interesting. That when it was allegedly built before the man knew anything, before long before man knew the earth was round. And
I was just wondering how what those people must have thought the people who were actually building it. Must have been like miraculous for them to actually do something.
Why? Because you have an image of what those people were like.
Right, I think this is something extraordinary.
Yeah, what if it wasn't?
Were these just a select few super bright people and the rest, you know, did this, or was it like a whole society or culture?
Well, there are some interesting quotes that I've got here. This is an ancient Arabic writing recently found and translated by an Arabic scholar. It states the following. This was written this was written like close to the time of Christ by an Arab scholar at the time, even though at that time people thought those two words were an oxymoron. The wisdom and accoutrements and the different arts and science that the pyramid contained, the wisdom and the accoutrements and the different arts and sciences, the sciences of arithmetic and geometry, that they might remain as records for the benefit of those who could afterward comprehend them. The positions of the stars in their cycles, together with the history and chronicle of time past and of that which is to come. But see, we have this image because that's all we've been taught, that man has evolved. And you think, you secretly believe that man is getting better and better, and that you're going to get better and better, and that your condition is going to improve. If you're in school, you think you're going to learn more. But that's not the truth. The truth is that man has been denigrating constantly. And that the condition here, at this time, the pre-flood condition, when men lived to be, 800, 900 years, they were far better off in terms of intellectually, in terms of physically, and of health, of their understanding than we are. Okay? Now, I know that's a hard one because you won't, again, it's something you won't believe. Because it goes against everything that you've been taught. But anyway, no one knows who built the Great Pyramid. Now, the little pyramids, there's all kinds, there's several other little pyramids, but and they were all tombs for the pharaohs that built them. But this one, there's, and they're full of, I told you last time, they were full of all kinds of idolatry and little, the writings which indicated, and they were to the gods, and they were full of treasures, and, the King Tut treasure and other things. In the Great Pyramid, there are no idols. There's no writing. There are no treasures. Nothing. Nothing except these incredible internal chambers that I'll talk about. All right. Again, there are several theories of who built it. The one I like is Enoch. Because Enoch lived 365 years, and more exactly, he lived 365.242 years. And that is 365 years, 88 days, and 9 hours. And the reason he lived that long is because that's the exact value of a solar year. And it became the basis, one of the keys to the understanding of what's called the Enoch circle inside the pyramid.
So it says the talent that he lived in?
Yeah. Well, you can figure it out even in the Bible. I mean, it's not. He lived 365.242 years. And the ancient historians called the Great Pyramid the Pillar of Enoch. Now, there are other people that say Seth, which is before Enoch. Josephus wrote of him, of Seth. Well, Enoch was a descendant of Seth, so it could be both. But Seth. The Sethians were inventors of the peculiar sort of wisdom which is concerned with the heavenly bodies and their order. These are all pre-flood people, remember. And that their inventions might not be lost before they were sufficiently known, they made two pillars, one of brick, the other of stone, and they inscribed their discoveries on both. And they both remain in the land of Syriad to this day. Now, Syriad is the, remember, they're one of the main gods of Egypt was Sirius, the dog. Well, this is, they called it the land of Syriad. And Josephus wrote this at the time of Christ. So they believe that it was the descendants of Seth, or Sethians, including Enoch, that built it. Okay? Now, since then, there's people said that Almodad and Peleg and Job, others have built it, but
Josephus said there were two. Is he talking about the Sphinx?
Right. Yeah. Right. Remember, one is built of brick, which is the Sphinx is built of brick, by the way, and the pyramid is built of stone. Okay. I don't need to give you reasons why they believe that. Okay. Now, the key to the understanding of the whole pyramid. What happened to my stick? Angela?
What?
I just had it. The key to the understanding of the whole pyramid is in this. This is true north. North is facing this way. This is the north side of the pyramid. The only entrance to the structure is this descending channel, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then there's an ascending passageway that goes up to this point, which is vital in our understanding, and off that leads the Queen's Chamber. Then the ascending passage increases massively in height, so you can walk comfortably up this, and you reach the King's Chamber. And in the King's Chamber is where the coffer, or the box, which is the exact dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant, are found. Now, the key to the understanding of the whole pyramid, remember, and they broke into this in 860. Remember the stories about the caliph? And they ransacked it. They couldn't find any treasures. And so then they ignored it. But the key to understanding is a bas in the wall of the antechamber here, and then a circle on the floor of that antechamber. Okay? It's a circle where the diameter equals the length of the chamber, and it's called the Enoch circle. And the exact dimensions of that circle are 365.242 inches, which is the length of time that Enoch lived on the earth. But more importantly, it gives us an understanding of what the basic dimension of measurement is in the pyramid. It's 365.242 inches, which represents the length of the solar year. Therefore, you compute from that an inch equals a year. You understand? This is the same kind of stuff that the U.S. scientists and the international scientific community has sent off in this spaceship. A year. It's. I'll explain it to you in a minute.
365.242
inches. Right. Now, I'll explain it in a minute. But the same kind of symbolism that can be understood by any society or any culture, because the basics of mathematics are universal. Pi is universal. Pi is from the smallest atom to the largest part of our solar system. You have to understand pi. Do you understand? You remember? Pi is the relationship of the radius of the circle, of a circle, to its circumference. You understand that?
Yeah.
The golden scion is the relationship. Well, it's 1.618, and it's a relationship which is the basis of all harmonics in architecture. These are universal numbers that are independent of knowledge. They're the linchpins of the universe. Do you understand? Okay. Now, in Scripture, we've got another key, which is necessary for us to understand something a little bit later, and that's in Ezekiel 4:6. It says, "I have appointed thee each day for a year." Okay, can you, just for the time minute, trust me that the basis of measurement let me put it this way, a possible basis for measurement in the pyramid is that one inch equals 1 year. Okay? Now let's test it.
One pyramid inch
equals 1 year. And the pyramid
because
inch
of that
is
scripture.
Huh?
Because of that scripture.
And others. But yeah. And the way the pyramid inch is, again, the only structures in the universe that are known that are the exact basis of the pyramid inch as the basis of measurement are the tabernacle in the wilderness, which includes the Ark of the Covenant, Solomon's temple, in the pyramid. Everything else is different measurements. Now, the U.S. equivalent is the closest, the U.S. and British, and it's within a hair's breadth length, what we call an inch, of the pyramid inch or the sacred inch. It's just a little bit off. Okay? Now, in establishing chronology, in unlocking any mystery, even these things that they sent off in the spacecraft, there has to be a starting point. You understand that? There has to be a point that is understandable, and it's a point where everything else flows from. Okay, well, when they went down this descending passage, about 40 feet down the passage, this is clearly polished stone, all up and on both, all on the four sides of the passageway. It's a square. I mean, it's clearly, but when they got to a point that's about 40 feet down from the outside of the pyramid, the north entrance of the pyramid, or the north facing, there's this clearly marked inscription in the wall that goes all the way around the four sides of the passage. And it's as it was, as if it were done like a diamond kind of cutting. It's perfect, it's exact, it's, there's no question that it was put there on purpose. Okay? Now, let me back. I covered this last week, but or last time. But remember, I told you that the pyramid is exactly aligned north, south, east, west, and the four sides of the bottom of the pyramid. But exact alignment is a meaningless term in because the Earth is round, it's spinning around at 1,000 miles an hour. And the whole solar system is spinning around the sun. I mean, the whole Earth is spinning around the sun. And that whole thing is spinning around somewhere else. So alignment becomes kind of weird until you figure out where's true north. Now, true north isn't what you get when you put on a magnet. True north is this imaginary pole that goes through the north and south pole of the Earth. And it's the star that points to. And so now that star is Polaris, which you see off the Big Dipper. But that, because the Earth wobbles, there are seven stars that have been in this, near the alignment. And at different periods in history, that exact north is at one of these different stars. And the length of time it takes for that circle to be completed is what's called the universal day, which is at 25,864 years or whatever. Remember? Okay. There's only been one point in history, one year in history, in which one of these stars pointed exactly down and hit the pool at the bottom of the descending passage. And that was in the 22nd century B.C., and it was over a period of several, you know, it was not just one instant, it could have been several days in that period. So one witness doesn't establish truth. You remember, it takes two or more witnesses to establish truth. Now, let's go to Job 38. Job 38. Verse 31. Well, this is when God is making Job feel small. That's the goal of this. Why, oh, Job. And he said, and let's start in verse 31. Can thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Can thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Or can thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Now, Pleiades is about the only... Pleiades is the seven sisters. You remember? It's the seven sisters that's in the constellation of Taurus. Okay? Am I communicating to you a little bit? Okay. This scored line aligns perfectly with the seven sisters, or Pleiades, on only one day. Where this aligns with this on only one day in all of history. And that's the vernal equinox of 2141 BC. And so, several astronomers have gone through this process with every computer you can find, and it's only the one date in all of history, there's only one date in all of history in which the combination of the descending passage and the scored lines could indicate. It's the vernal equinox, 2141 BC. Now this may seem capricious or arbitrary to you, but if you applied all the scientific wisdom and knowledge that you could get, if you took all of the modern science that's used in this space probe, which is an attempt to communicate with other beings and other planets, you couldn't have come up with a better system. Because, I mean, it's the way of establishing point zero. Okay? You understand? Will you accept what I've just said to you? This scored line pointing outward to this star, which was the pole star, down to a reflection pit in the bottom, there's only one point in all of history in which that could take place. Now, I'm convinced that Orion also is involved, and they haven't figured it out yet. Now, for those of you who want, there's a great study in this by a guy named Rutherford, and he wrote up several books, but Pyramidology 1 and Pyramidology 2. And he goes through all this in minute detail, if you're interested in it. And this is, I'm just giving you Pyramid 101 or
Rutherford.
Rutherford.
That's what I was fixing to say. All these things that are named here, except Maseroth.
Well, Maseroth is another word for the 12 signs of the zodiac.
But all these stars they named here are still using jet navigation today.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I had to position a plane on.
I know.
What is special about Arcturus? Is there a reason why we're going to that?
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about it right now. Okay, now notice the other interesting point is that star, whose light reflected in the pit, is the star Draconius, which in ancient times always represented Satan. It's the dragon star, and he is the prince of the power of the air, the light of this world, the false light, and all men are on the path of that descending passage, and they end up in the pit.
Is that the light shining
in the dark place? No. I don't know. But this is the pit, and we'll see how important that pit is in a minute. But this is also your life. Your star, you're under the influence of Satan. Because he is the god of this world. No matter how hard you try, you're on a descending path. And you will go and go and go. You're trying to work, but you're trying to get up to the king's chamber or the queen's chamber, but you can't get there. And so you end up in the pit. Now the idea of the pit as hell came from this concept. Now, let's get fun. Now, Amos talks about the seven stars and Orion also, but okay, as I said, the date at which the dragon star and the Pleiades were in this precise position relative to the pyramid was the vernal equinox in 2141 BC. And this then is the reference point for all of the measurements. And as I told you, the basis of the construction of the animal is based on the dimensions of the Earth, and it's in the exact center of the known mass of the Earth. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Okay, the measurement in inches, backward or forward from the scored lines, represent the number of years before or after this fixed date. You understand? Now, it's tempting to go backwards to find out when the pyramid was built. The problem is the casings have been taken off. Some of the erosion has taken place, so we can't know. But it's clear, if you add the casings and this other stuff to me, that the when was anybody remember when the flood was? Let's see if there's any.
January.
I believe it was. Yeah, it was 48.
I remember well.
Wasn't it about 3?
No.
Yeah, 3.
Okay, every all you people that want to know this kind of stuff, we got neat charts to teach you.
Charts.
All
right. Charts. Charts.
I'm just gonna just show you this much. But the year of the flood it can be computed from the scriptures is 2348 BC.
That's what I was missing.
We were just talking about fun.
You were not thinking.
Do they know about how long it took to build?
Yeah, exactly how long?
Long time.
2 years.
It took 30 years to build. 100,000 men working in 3 month shifts.
That's kind of interesting.
100,000.
They worked 3 months.
Well, it was always 100,000 men working. Okay, and all that crap about how the rocks got up there—that's easy. I mean, that's all been solved. So, I mean, you know.
It wasn't wheels.
No, it was inclines. But anyway. Okay, now we get fun. 688 inches exactly from this to the center of this ascending passage is an opening which makes the entrance to the ascending passage. That computes 688 inches from the 2141 BC makes this ascending passage the year of the Exodus from Israel. I mean, Israel's exodus from Egypt. It's a cosmic event, as I've told you. It's not something. This was built thousands of years before the Exodus. Okay. Immediately upon that, there's an ascending passage, and if you can, you know, this is everything in there is every angle in there is a particular, every angle in the pyramid is a particular angle, which we'll talk about in a minute, in relationship to the passages. But that, if you can, this canon isn't drawn very well. If you can imagine that there's a passageway that goes like this, and then there's an opening there, well, at the exact opening, maybe like an inch in or something, is a huge black solid granite block, so that you can't get up the passage. And that huge black solid granite block that is there to prevent man by his own efforts to getting to the king's chamber is the law given at Mount Sinai. You understand?
How do they know all that other stuff is up there if they can't?
They burrowed around it because this is sandstone of a type, limestone. This is black solid granite. They burrowed around it.
So you still can't get through it.
You still can't get through it.
And you can't get around it.
How big is the block? Pretty big?
It's big.
Big as the passage?
It's big. Well, but it extends up the passageway, too.
How far?
Well, you go read the book. I don't want to detail. I want to get to the biggies.
Well, I thought maybe it'd be all the way up.
No.
There's more books to the book.
Okay.
Let's go see the pyramids.
So that what it is more like a cork and bottle.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's impossible to get through. Okay, measuring up the passage from this point to the point where the floor of the Queen's Chamber intersects the ascending passage is 1,485 inches. Okay, that computes, 1,485 inches compute to, anybody want to guess? And they can do it by exact inches. It computes to the spring of AD 33, the date of the crucifixion. Now I think they're off by 3 inches in both directions, but since I haven't measured it, I can't, because there's a little bit of subjectivity that you have to do from where to start the measurements. I think this rightly is 1450 and this rightly is AD 30, but I haven't been there to measure it. But the point of it is that this point here is AD 33 by this calculation, by Rutherford's and others' calculation. Now, far below the base of the pyramid is an irregular chamber. I mean, this is like Helium chamber. And it's where this descending passage leads. Now, from this pit, there is an irregular tunnel. These are smooth, well-manicured, well-engineered passageways. From the pit, there's this irregular tunnel that goes all the way up, and here, in this area, it just explodes. And it explodes up immediately after that 33 AD point, which is the resurrection of Christ.
What do you mean explodes?
Well, I mean, it's just total irregularity and particles and stuff on the floor. And I mean, it's just messy.
Oh.
But right after the crucifixion, there's this explosion. And it's a totally irregular, messy thingy that goes from the pit all the way to that point.
That's neat.
Yeah. Now there's, it's the point, it explodes out at the common point of the ascending passage, the entrance to the Queen's Chamber, and the beginning of the Grand Gallery, which is the entrance to the King's Chamber. So it explodes out at that exact point of the end of the ascending passage, the beginning of the Queen's Chamber entrance, and the beginning of the King's Chamber entrance. Okay, now, this is a little complicated, so trust me, I don't want to draw a list. Okay, between a point where the floor level of the Queen's Chamber intersects with the floor of the ascending passage, and that's two sides of a triangle, the other side is this extension of the King's Chamber passage down, is a triangle. Okay? And it's called, throughout all of the writings about it, the Christ triangle, or the Christ angle. Okay, and it is another key for understanding all of prophecy, both forward and backward. It's a geometric triangle is formed. The north end of its base marks the date, 29 December 2 BC. So the north end of this little triangle, which is this point leading up to the ascending passage, marks the date 29 September 2 BC. The date of this point on this point of the triangle is 3 April 33 AD. Now, the base of the pyramid is 30.043 pyramid inches, which marks the exact date, October 14th, 29 AD, which is the date of his baptism. Now, that date of his baptism is extremely important to understand the biblical prophecies with regard to Daniel, because it's exactly 3.5 years before his death on the cross. Now, the interesting thing to me about this, which we can confirm, which no one else knows, is these dates conform to the feast days that we've said all this stuff happens on. He was baptized on the feast of what? Yom Kippur, which is, in this case, it was October 14th, 29 A.D. This point, the date of the baptism, is vitally important. Otherwise, you'll never understand the book of Daniel. That it happened exactly 3.5 years, and you won't understand the fast of Tammuz and all the stuff that I tried to talk about the last time we met, which I was talking to the ceiling. Okay? So remember that. His baptism occurred exactly 3.5 years before the crucifixion. Okay?
When did you find out that this met up,
Okay, now this distance of the Grand Gallery from the point here to the point here is 1,881 and one-third pyramid inches. Well, that gives us the date of 1914. Now, from now on, things get really weird.
Yeah, they're already weird. They're already weird.
Too late.
You can get any weird.
1914, that's... So, like, we had a world war.
That's when World War One
started. That's right.
That's right.
See, now we're getting into history. I know.
Finally,
we got some tough dates now. Right.
Top of the pyramids.
Somehow, run that by again.
We're still in talking about how far passages are to points of interest or points of demarcation on the. Okay, from this point to this point is 1,881 and one-third pyramid inches. Okay, if you compute that out, that brings us to the date. 1914. Now, there's ever since then, one of the reasons that this kind of pyramidology has been discarded is that people like Rutherford, who was an incredible scientist, he computed the date of Christ's return by the distance from here to here. And he computed it as 1979. It didn't happen, obviously. Well, the thing that happens here in the King's Chamber is all kinds of wild stuff, like different, I mean, you go for a while and then different rocks are used, different kinds of, it goes from limestone to granite to sandstone, and it's obviously set there to confuse you so that no man will know the hour or the date.
I guess I'm going to have to believe that this has to do with being a witness. Illuminati was going to say, oh, I don't believe that.
And well, it can only have one function. If you analyze it and study it for 100 years, and that's to show forth the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. Okay. That's
not how to do that. Now, I'm not going to get into this, but there are all kinds of interesting things that take place with regard to these distances to the Queen's Chamber and this distance and these little formations of how it's built.
You mean you're not going
to
get into this?
Because I want you, if you're interested, to go study it.
Are you going to talk why there's an angle off the past to something called the Queen's Chamber?
Well, now, wait a minute. There's something just occurred to me while you're saying that very same thing. Is he just went through the big deal the other night about three witnesses. This thing is, no doubt, this thing verifies itself all the way around the barnyard.
Right. But that's not the third witness. The third witness is the Sphinx, which we haven't talked about yet.
Which the first one was? The stars?
Were they built at the same time?
Both of them were pre-flood structures. The only two pre-flood structures in the world.
I didn't know that was pre-flood.
What did you say the first witness was? The stars?
No, the Sphinx and its relationship to the zodiac. The Sphinx is the key to understanding the signs of the zodiac. And the pyramid is the key to understanding. All of them reveal. And again, I remember I said the Bible wasn't sufficient witness because it was only one. There need to be two or three witnesses.
Did people build and know all this?
I'll have to ask him next time I go back there.
This might be a dumb question, but when did people start counting? I mean, like, when does time start getting counted?
Well, if you believe the Bible, it got started getting counted with Adam.
Have you been inside the Great Pyramid?
No.
Okay.
I've been outside it, but I haven't been inside it.
Do they let people?
I don't know.
Is it like really a complicated thing to get in there?
I don't know.
Well, I think that's important. Did these people realize the implications?
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I mean, again, that's my opinion, but I'm sure they did. They knew exactly what they were looking. They saw the day of Christ and were glad.
Is the King's Chamber where the exact center of the pyramid is?
I don't know. I think it probably is, but I don't know. Now, wait a minute. Okay, now we need to do something else. pyramid does some other stuff. That's another witness to this. Now, we could spend next year studying what these little, there's all kinds of little interesting thingies that happen in the king's chamber. Little, you have to bend down and then to get through, and then you bend down and you stand up. And there's the queen's chamber is just sort of there. It's under the king's chamber. But again, I encourage you, if you're interested, to read Rutherford's book. Now, don't pay any attention to what Rutherford says with regard to prophetic dates, because he said the world was going to end in 1979.
I started saying I've been a lot more nervous then.
But obviously, there's other little thingies here that compute. I mean, I don't want to go. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff here that confirms dates, not just these. I'm only concentrating on the ones of the Exodus, which is your departure from the world, and then this revelation of Christ. Okay.
It confirms predicted dates, basis of the day.
Right
the
now.
Day of the building.
Right. Okay. Now. This Christ triangle and the angle of the slope of the passages, of the passage system, is an interesting phenomenon for the sake of people that are interested in such things. The angle is 26 hours or 26 degrees, 18 minutes, 9.7 seconds. That's this angle here. And it's the basis of all of the... Now... Do you know what a room line is? R-H-U-M-B?
I know what it is in navigation.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Okay. If you take that angle, taken as a room line, which is it's a sophisticated navigation system, which is a complicated, which I don't want to define. From the east-west base of the pyramid, then it does some interesting things. If you take, in other words, you're setting that, if you assume this is the east-west base of the pyramid and its center, you take that angle there, which is in this case reversed because we're going to put it up here, then it does interesting things. It points directly to, this map isn't of scale, by the way, it points to a place called the Sea of Reeds, which is the place at which Israel crossed the Dead Sea. It points to the place just south of Jericho where Israel entered the Promised Land. And it, therefore, the two crossings describe the beginnings and the endings of Israel's wanderings. Now, it also passes directly through Bethlehem. Now, the distance from the Great Pyramid to Bethlehem, from the center of the Great Pyramid to Bethlehem, to this cave, by a great circle arc, is 2,139 pyramid furlongs. Now, a pyramid furlong is 8,000 pyramid inches, and it's a system of measurement they used in those days, okay? Again, starting with the linchpin here of 2141, we end up with Christ, the location of Christ's birth, Bethlehem, and when he was born, if by that computation it's 2 BC. And you can tell exactly when. I mean, it's 29 September, 2 BC. So it says the same thing extended out as this little triangle does.
29 September,
2 BC.
So that's Christmas.
Well, it's Rosh Hashanah, which is Jewish New Year when Christ was really born.
And that does, in fact, compute back. Rosh Hashanah was on that day.
Well,
in that year.
Yeah, there's no way you can tell, but it was close to that day. I mean, there's probably a way you can tell, but I can't. Now, you want to study Daniel a little bit?
Yes.
How far is it?
Beware of what you
said. You said the other line passed through Stonehenge.
Yeah.
What's the significance of that distance?
I don't know.
Might have something to do with that.
There's all, I mean, you could spend a life, men have spent lifetimes studying this stuff. I'm trying to just give you a thumbnail sketch. I mean, none of this stuff that I'm telling you is my work. I'm just repeating Rutherford's work. Okay? Except the one thing I am telling you, no, that Rutherford never said this is a picture of you, too. You know, this is not drawn to scale or anything, but the top of the pyramid was never put on it. The reason was, is that, as I told you, when they were trying to find the entrance to the pyramid, they looked at the exact north, south, east, west axes and combinations of it, and they couldn't find it. And so, again, by accident, this guy found it when he heard something fall and an echo in it. And they found that it was exactly the distance between north-south axis and the entrance was 286.1 pyramid inches. Okay, then when they got to the king's chamber, off the north-south axis, the coffer was exactly 286.1 inches off the north-south axis. Now, legend says that that a whole different group of people built this, the headstone, and they got the dimensions wrong, and it was off by 286.1 inches. And so the builders rejected that stone. Now the scriptures say that the stone which the builders rejected is become what? The chief corner stone. Well, that's a technical term. The only thing that could ever mean cornerstone is, it wasn't the corner of a building, it was the head of a pyramid that had four sides, whose axis came, and therefore it was the corner of all four points of the structure. Now, that's what that means.
When Jesus said that, did he say that? Did he use the word cornerstone? They had to have known what he was talking about, didn't they? Because, I mean, how many pyramids were laying around?
And Josephus knew what he was talking about, too. Okay? Now, I don't know. No, we don't have time. Let's quit. Because it'll take, you know, people have spent years trying to figure out Daniel. But this makes Daniel's prophecy clear. And so we'll wait and do it Saturday. We'll study Daniel on Saturday. Now, remember now, this pyramid was built, I think it was built, as I said, before the flood. But, and it doesn't matter. The point of it was built thousands of years before Christ. It was built at least 1,000-plus years before even the prophecies were written in the scriptures about Christ. So, I don't know how anyone, by any other, I don't know how you could come up with any other, by these measurements. Maybe people can, I don't know. I don't know how you, these measurements are locked in stone. I mean, you can't stretch it, or it's not going to vary.
What is the significance of the queen's tomb?
Refer to Rutherford. Queen's tombs?
No, Rutherford doesn't talk about it. No. Huh? I don't think it's the bride. I think it's... Well, let's go to Revelation 18. Now remember, remember from the beginning of the thing that I read to you was in Jeremiah. Well, the purpose of this, from your standpoint, is it talked about, is there anything too hard for God? I mean, let's go back. You don't remember it. Just keep your finger in Revelation. Go to Jeremiah 32. I hate it when you don't remember stuff. I see the blank faces.
That's a good sign.
You don't remember, Angela. Right, kid.
Jeremiah 32.
And verse 16 through 29. But really, let's just go to 16. Read it at your own time. But 16, when I delivered the evidence, start in 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee or too difficult for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensed the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Now we saw that what the fruit of your doing and ways will lead, it leads to the pit. Which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name at this day. And it goes on, but, I mean, the idea of this reason for studying this isn't to, so you can make great conversation at some cocktail party. The reason for studying this is so that you can know that there is nothing too hard for him. There is no thing that confront you, that can confront you, by which, through the vehicle of abandonment of self, i.e. repentance, that it, his mystery, it won't be completed. All right? That's the only reason we studied this. I've avoided studying this for a long time because what most people do is just, you know, it becomes a gaga thing. Revelation 18. And after those things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory, lightened. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornications with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even if she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived delicately or deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give to her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And it goes on, but I think that the queen's chamber, since it's separated from the king, and there's it's a dead end, is a revelation of the continuance of self-seeking.
It's an easy walk from to Christ is right. Trying instead of having to climb up some.
Right.
But I think what Libby just said is so wild, isn't it? Like,
what?
Well, it says here.
I'm just saying
in that light, if you took that out, there is a cage at the Queen's chamber. She just said it looked like a cage.
Yeah, but it's something they built.
I know,
yeah.
But oh. God knew they would build it.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
I think that's really wild. I mean,
anybody have anything else? Any thoughts about all this stuff?
You should sense of awe about God and all that interconnecting stuff.
Anybody else?
We've talked about God never telling the future per se. Why? What is? I mean, basically.
Well, it's so that none of this was available until, I mean, there wasn't any ways to understand it. God, Jesus said, I tell you these things so that when they happen, you'll know they're of me. I mean, it's not to foretell a future, it's to give you a sense of comfort for when they happen.
The other thing is, this knowledge is still unavailable to the people who don't think that's all fairy tale.
Yeah, but remember again, and he says, and to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and to them that are without, everything is screwed up. Everything is a parable or a mystery. Take it, big guy.